All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Ches 38. We are picking up from the Tanur Rabbanon on Lamed Zayin. There's a lot to do today. So we're picking up 2, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 short lines above the bottom of the page. So I mean, it's okay. It's gonna flow beautifully. We'll say our shir today is sponsored by Jerry and Abby Applebaum in commemoration of the yard site of Abby's aunt Helen Rab, Chana Bas Avram Zichron Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, so her neshama will have an aliyah. We also dedicate our learning today to Ilui Nishmas, Rabbi Sonnenschein's mother, Shana Tova Bas Shimon Gershon. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. Tan Rabbanon. So the pasuk says, "You shall give the bracha on har grizim and the klala, the curse on har eva." Ma tamud lomar. What is the pasuk coming to teach me? Im lelame ishate bracha har grizim klala har al har eva. If it's coming to teach me that the bracha is in har that the bracha was given on har grizim and the klala on har eva, hari kvar ne'emar. We already learned that before because the pasuk said, "Ela yandu levarich ha'sa'am al har grizim." The pasuk already said that the bracha is given on har grizim and the klala on har eva. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, "Ve'ela yandu ala klala behar eva." So the Gemara says, "Ela." So why do I need that? Why do I need that pasuk again? The Torah has already taught me that the bracha is on grizim and the klala is on eval. Ela lahaktim bracha leklala. Rather, it's coming to teach us that what? That the bracha was given before the klala. So the Gemara says, Yachol you call that brachos called most of the klalos. Summing up that what this means is that all of the brachos, meaning first we give all of the blessings and then only afterwards do we give the curses. Talmud lomar bracho klala. Therefore, the Torah tells us that no, the order at Har Griz and Harvey was the following. They said one bracha, and then what? And then the corresponding klala. Bracha achas kodemes leklala. Vein kala brachos called most of the klalos. So one bracha, meaning when bracha klala, bracha klala, bracha klala, so on and so forth. But you didn't have all of the brachos before all of the klalos. So the Gemara says, lahakish ulahakish bracha leklala. And to teach us and to compare the bracha to the klala, how so? Lomar lecha ma klala b'levim, just like the klala was given by the levim, af bracha b'levim, so too the bracha was articulated, was recited by the levim. Uma klala b'koram, and just like the klala, the curse, was given in a loud voice, af bracha b'koram, so too the bracha was given in a loud voice as well. Uma klala b'levim, Lashna Kodesh, and just like the curse was given in Lashna Kodesh, Af bracha b'lashna kodesh. So to the bracha was given in lashna kodesh. Uma klala b'chlalu prat. We'll say this goes back to yesterday's daf. And just like when it comes to the klala, remember, what does klalu prat mean? There was a general statement. Arur ha'ish asher lo yakim es divrei ha'Torah azos. Cursed is the person who does not uphold the words of this Torah. That was the general klala. And then we went to prat, to a specific klala. So too, af bracha bichlalu prat. So too, the bracha ultimately was given first in a general term and then in a specific one. Umak lala elu ve'elu onin ve'omrin amen. And just like on each and every curse, everyone assembled answer amen. Af bracha elu ve'elu onin ve'omrin amen. So too, again with every bracha, everyone assembled would also go ahead and answer amen. Bosei says the Mishnah, Birkas Kohanim. Well, say, remember, now, where is this Mishnah picking up from? The last Mishnah spoke about all of the things that can be recited in Lashon HaKodesh, right? There's some things that have to be recited in Lashon HaKodesh, some things that can be recited in Lashon HaKodesh. So one of the things that has to be recited in Lashon HaKodesh was Birkas Kohanim. So once the Mishnah, began to speak about Birkas Kohanim, so the Mishnah now picks up on that same theme. We're going to speak about Duchening a little bit. So it says, Digimara Bosa, it's actually very interesting. We had a similar sugya in Meseches Brachas. So, you know, if it sounds repetitive from 2.5 years ago, good, you'll take it as chazara. Says the Mishnah, Birchas Kohanim Ketzad. Rabbi say, how is Birchas Kohanim performed? This is really amazing. So, b'medina, Omer Osa Shalosh Brachos. So we'll say Medina means anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So even in general Yerushalayim, anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So in the Medina, so you say that three distinct brachos. So we'll say that's how we say it today. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, one bracha, then the second bracha, second line, and then third line. Three distinct brachos. Ube Mikdash bracha achos. But in the Beis HaMikdash, it was all said as one bracha. And I will say now, why such a distinction? So we'll see this in the Gemara, but Rashi already points out over here. Rashi says, Shalosh brachos, shemafsikin akonim ben pasal apasik, va'onin atzibur amen. Because it will say, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, each phrase is said by its on its own, and the tzibur answers amen. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, amen. In the Beis HaMikdash, however, they did not answer amen. We'll discuss this in the Gemara. They answered, interestingly enough, Baruch Shem Kival Machusoli Olam Va'ed. So because there was no recitation of amen in the Beis HaMikdash, therefore they recited all three lines, all three phrases of Birkas Kohanim, as one unified bracha. Next, b'mikdash omras Hashem, top of Lamed Ches, kich savo, u'b'medina b'kinu yav. So we'll say next distinction. In the Beis HaMikdash, they said the name of Hashem the way it is written. In other words, that they articulated yud hey and vav hey. Versus outside of the Beis HaMikdash, b'kinu yav. Kinu yav means, kinu is literally a nickname. So what this means over here is they wouldn't say the name yud hey and then vav hey. They would not articulate their name. Rather, what they said was aleph dalid nun yud. The name of Adnos, Ado, and then Noi. Next, b'medina kohanim nosim es kapein kineged kisvehim. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when kohanim duchin, they lift up their hands across from their shoulders. They raise their hands up to their shoulders. U'b'mikdash al gabei rosheihen. Interestingly enough, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would go ahead and raise their hands above their heads. Now the idea over here is that Rashi put, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. That's you're making an entrance, you know. So that has to do, we'll see, with the previous statement that since in the Beis HaMikdash they're using the Shem HaMeforash, Yud Hey Vav Hey, so we'll discuss that necessitated a raising of the hands above their heads. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, where they're not using the explicit name of God, but what we call a kinui. Kinui literally means like a nickname. It's probably a better word for that than his nickname, but a secondary name of God. So they only raise their hands corresponding to their shoulders, with one exception of the Beis HaMikdash, Chutz Mikoyin Gadol, the high priest, She'eno Magbia Es Yadav Lemala Min Atzitz. The Bosa, interesting to remember, one of the unique vestments that the Kohen Gadol wore was something called the Tzitz. The Tzitz was like a plate, a gold plate that was actually tied onto his forehead that said Kodesh LaHashem, sanctified to God. So the Kohen Gadol did not want to raise his hands above that plate, above Kodesh LaHashem. So every other Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, when they duchen, raise their hands above their head, the Kohen Gadol would raise his hands corresponding to his shoulders, but not above his head because of the tzitz. Shnei Amar, because the pasuk says, Vayisa. I'm sorry, Rabbi Huda says, Af Kohen Gadol Magbia Yadav Lamala Min Atzitz. Rabbi Huda disagrees and he says, no, the Kohen Gadol can raise his hands above the Tzitz, Shene Emar, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav Ela'am Vayivarechim. Because the Pasuk says that Aaron lifted his hands corresponding opposite the people and he blessed them. We'll explain this exchange and the need of this Pasuk in the Gemara. Tan Rabban, Abbas, now what the Gemara is going to do, and this is really fascinating, is just go through a number of different brisos that discuss the halachos of duchening. So Tana Rabbanan, Ko Sivarechu. Remember, the pasuk says this, talking to Aaron. This is how you will bless the people. Belashna Kodesh. Duchening must be done in Hebrew. Ata Omer Belashna Kodesh in Arabic Halashon. You might say, maybe not. Maybe it could be done in any language. Ne'emar Kan Ko Sivarechu. It says by Birkas Kohanim, so shall you bless. The Ne'emar Lahalon. Eila yamdu levarech asam. We'll say we're back to the Yarden. And it says, excuse me, by Har Grizim and Har Eval. And it says by the brachas and kolos by Har Grizim and Har Eval, these will stand to bless the people. So we're making a gzir shava of bracha, bracha. Ma lahalon b'lashna kodesh, just like by Har Grizim and Har Eval, the bracha had to be delivered on lashna kodesh. Afkan, so too over here by Birkas Kohanim. So bracha means lashna kodesh, means Hebrew. Rabbi Huda says, Einul Tzarach, you don't even need this gzir shav, and I'll tell you why. Harehu omer ko. The pasuk says, ko sivaruchu es b'nei Yisrael. God says to Aaron, this is how you shall bless the Jewish people. And what does ko teach us?
Ad sheyomru belashon hazeh, until you go ahead and you use this lashon. Tanya idach rabo. So we have another braisa. Kosev varuchu. This is how you shall bless the people. Ba'amida. Rabbi, this, I just want to tell you something. This is all Kohanim. The Kohanim, you have to listen very attentively. We all have to listen. This whole daf is halacha l'maisa. It's really, which is just amazing. So another braisa, kosev varuchu. This is how you shall bless the people. Ba'amida. Duchening must be done in a standing position. At omer ba'amida, ena ele afila b'yeshiva. You say it has to be done standing, but maybe it could even be done sitting. Ne'emar kan kosev varuchu. It says over here, this is how you shall bless. Ve'ne'emar lahalon, ela ya'amdu levarich. So we'll say another bracha gezer shava. It says over here, this is how you shall bless. And it says over there, again, over there being har grizim and har eval, these will stand to bless the nation. Ma lahalon ba'amida. I will say, just like by har grizim and har eval, the bracha was administered standing. Afkan ba'amida, so too over here, the bracha is administered standing. Rabbi Nassan says, Eino tzarech, you don't need a gzera shava, and I'll tell you why. Hare'u homer, l'shara so ulevarech bishmo. Because listen to this, the pasuk says, l'shara so ulevarech shmo, but that literally, the job of the Kohen, actually this is being when God separated out Shevet Levi, so God separated out the Levim, but this is simply referring to the Kohuna. L'shara so means to serve God, ulevarech bishmo, and to bless in his name. So what is the Torah doing? The Torah is comparing sheiros, right? Sacrificial temple service to what? To bracha. Mamish sharis ba'amida, just as the person who what? Who is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. So remember, avodah must be done ba'amida. Avodah must be done standing up. So mamish sharis ba'amida, af mivarech ba'amida. So to ultimately, again, the blessing is also done while standing. So the Gemara says, umisharis gufei minalan. So where do we know that sheirus, that sacrificial service, has to be done standing? Tichsiv la'amod ulisharis. Because the pasuk says to stand and to serve. Good. Tanya idach, another braisa. Kosiv varechu. This is how, speaking to the Kohen, this is how you shall bless the people. Benesias kapayim, right? With outstretched hands, with uplifted hands. Ator benesias kapayim, or eino elo shlo benesias kapayim. You're saying with outstretched hands, but maybe not. Who says that's with outstretched hands? Ne'emar kan, kosev aruchu. Ve'ne'emar lahalon, vayisa aron es yodov, ela'am, vayivarechim. So the pasuk over here says, kosev aruchu, this is how you shall bless. And the pasuk, Rebbe said, this is by the Yom HaShemini. This is by the inauguration of the Mishkan. The pasuk says that Aaron stretched out his hands and he blessed the people. So again, gzir shava bracha bracha, mar lahalon benesias kapayim. Just like over there by Aaron, it was with outstretched hands. Afkan benesias kapayim. So too, by stam birchas kohanim, by stam duchening, it also must be done with outstretched hands. But the Gemara says, one second, kasha Rabbi Yonasan, but Rabbi Yonasan raised the kasha. And what's the kasha? Imal lahalon kohen gadol v'rosh chodesh v'avodas sibur. Rav says, okay, well, one second, let's look at the context. What's the context where Aaron lifted his hands to bless the people? First of all, again, it was the kohen gadol. Next, it was rosh chodesh. And number three, they were in the midst of communal sacrificial service. I'll say, fine, when do you require nesias kapai? When do you require the outstretched hands to bless the people? Afkan, kohen gadol, rosh chodesh, avodas sibur. So fine, meaning if you want to be genuine in your comparison, then say that just as the paradigmatic case is a case of where the Kohen Gadol is blessing the people and it's Rosh Chodesh and he's involved in communal sacrificial service, so too that's when the Nesias Kapayim is required. When it's the Kohen Gadol, when it's Rosh Chodesh, and when it's communal sacrificial service, but any other time that the Kohanim bless the people, they do not require outstretched hands. To which the Gemara says, Reb Nassan Omer Eino Sarich. So Reb Nassan says, no, you don't even need this comparison. Harehu Omer, the Pasuk says, Hu ubanav kol hayamim. The pasuk Rabbi Yosef, when speaking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Aaron and his sons, says it was Aaron who ubanav and his sons kol hayamim, all of the days. What does this mean? Says the Gemara, it's a very exciting drasha. Makish banav lo. The Torah is comparing the sons of Aaron to Aaron. How so? Mahu b'nesias kapayim, af banav b'nesias kapayim. Just as Aaron blesses the people with outstretched hands, so too his children bless the people with outstretched hands as well. Uksiv kol hayamim, and the pasuk says all of the days. And all of the days are sorbos. So remember, so what's happening? Two things. Number one is the Torah is telling me the fact that the Torah compares Aaron to his sons, or the sons to Aaron, tells us whatever applied to the father applied to the sons. Therefore, just like the father blessed Benesias Kapayim with outstretched hands, so too the sons are blessed with outstretched hands as well. Furthermore, Kalayamim teaches me that what? That just as all of the days, so even though Aaron's example, or the paradigmatic example of Bracha Benesias Kapayim occurred when? Occurred on Rosh Chodesh, but Kalayamim teaches me that Lemaisa, this concept of Benesias Kapayim applies when? All days. Furthermore, V'iskish Bracha L'sheiros, and furthermore, again, blessing is compared to service, which again teaches us that just as service in the Beis HaMikdash must be done standing, so too Bracha must be done standing as well. But Tanya Yidach, another Braisa, Kosev Aruch Hu Esbenei Yisrael B'Shem HaMefurash, when the Kohanim bless the people, they use the Shema HaMefurash, Yud Hei, and then Vav Hei. Ator B'Shem HaMefurash, you know, Ela B'Kinui, how do you know that? Maybe it just means, because remember the Pasuk says, well, Kosev Aruch Hu, it says Kosev Aruch Hu, actually, I'm sorry. Oh, in Ela B'Kinui, how do you know you could use the name? How do you know I have to use Yud Hey and then Vav Hey? Maybe you could use Aleph Dalet and then Nun Yud. Tamalomar V'samu Eshmi. The Pasuk says, talking to Aaron, you shall place my name upon the people, Shmi HaMeyuchad Li, the name that is unique to me, which refers to Yud Hey and then Vav Hey. Yachal Af Bigvulin Kain. You might have thought that this is true even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, that you should use the Shem HaMefurash, that you should use Yud Hey and then Vav Hey. Ne'emar Kan. Ne'emar Kan V'samu Es Shmi. V'ne'emar Lahalon Lasum es Shemo. It says over here by Duchening that you shall go ahead and you shall place my name upon the people. And it says over there, now both say over here, over there is talking about the Beis HaMikdash. The Pasuk says, Kim ala makom. It's actually talking about Karbanos. The Pasuk says, Kim ala makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shifteichem lasum es Shemo sham. You shall only bring Karbanos in that place that God has chosen to rest his presence there. So the Gemara says, so v'ne'emar la'alon l'sum eshimo sham, ma'la'alon beis ha-bechira, just like over there when it's talking about Karbanos, it means the beis ha-mikdash, avkan be'beis ha-bechira. So we'll say, essentially what we're doing is we're making gzereshav of shame. Just like when we spoke about over there, la'sum eshimo sham, the place where God chooses his name to rest. It's talking about the beis ha-mikdash by Karbanos, so to v'samu eshimi means, when can you use my name? When you're in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshi, Omer, Enos, Rabbi Yoshi says, you don't even need this Gzer Shava. Hari Omer, the Pasuk says, B'chala makom asher askir es shemi, avo elecha. So in any place where I choose my name to be remembered, that's where I will come to you, God says. So the Gemara says, B'chol makom sachad ayitchin. You might have thought this is in any place. So therefore, again, Ela mikra zem esurasu, B'chol makom asher avo elecha b'rachticha, sham askir es shemi. Any place where I come to you to bless you, that is a place where my name could be mentioned. So the Gemara says, Veheichan avo elecha b'rachticha, and where will I come to you to bless you? To which the Gemara answers, Beis HaBechira, the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Sham askir es shami bebeis avechira. Therefore, my name, meaning Yud Hey and then Vav Hey, can only be mentioned in the confines of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So I'll say again another piece of halacha lemaisa that duchening again in the Beis HaMikdash used the four letter name of Hashem of Yud Hey and then Vav Hey, but that name could only be used in the Beis HaMikdash itself, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, when there was duchening. The name of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the name of Ado and then Noi, was used by duchening. So the Gemara goes weiter. So shall you bless the Jewish people. Ainli ela b'nei Yisrael. I will say, now under normal circumstances, b'nei Yisrael means men. So I only know that birchas konim is done for men. Geirim, nashim, va'avadim mishuchar minayin. How do I know about converts, women, emancipated servants? How do I know about them? Tamud lomar, emor lahem l'kulu. Therefore the pasuk says, say to them, to all of them. Tanya Idach, another Braisa, Kosev Aruch Hu, these are all important halacha lemaisa, little nuggets. Kosev Aruch Hu, this is how you shall bless the people. Panim kineged panim. Bosai, in order to receive the Birchas Kohanim, you must be standing opposite the Kohanim. You must be standing panim el panim, face to face. At Omer panim el panim. Bosai, this, by the way, you should know. The reason this is very important is there is an old minhag, but it's a wrong minhag. That I don't usually say about minhagim, because most minhagim have some. So you'll see, this is much more, you don't see this as much today, you see it a little bit more old school, of people who turn around during Birchas Kohanim. Now, where did that minhag come from? So there's a halacha that says that you're not supposed to look at the hands of the Kohanim when they duchen. And the reason for that is because the Shechina rests on the fingers of the Kohanim. I don't know that you're going to go blind if you look at the hands of the Kohanim like so. But again, you're not supposed to look. It's not a din in blindness. It's a din in concentration and kavod Shechina. So somehow, some way, over time, a minhag, and you see there are a number of people who do this, who turn around during Birchas Kohanim in order to avoid looking at the Kohanim. So this is a wrong minhag. It's an unequivocally wrong minhag. And here the Gemara explicitly says, because at the end of the day, Birchas Kohanim only happens panim al panim, only if I'm facing the Kohanim. Ato omer panim kineged panim in el panim kineged oref. So you're saying that what? That has to be face-to-face, or maybe not. Maybe even if the Kohanim are facing the backs of the heads of the people, the necks of the people, that lamaisa again, they should still be able to give the bracha. Talmud Lomar is very interesting. Emor lahem. The pasuk says to the Kohanim, say to the people, ka'adam ha'omer lechaveiro, like someone talking to his friend. And just like, again, someone talking to his friend is speaking panim el panim, so to birchas kohanim must also be panim el panim. Tanya idach, another braisa, kosev aruchu b'kol ram. Yeah, when the Kohanim go ahead and do the duchening, they must do so out loud, or perhaps they could even give the bracha quietly. Talmud lomar emor lahem. Therefore, the pasuk says that what? You shall say unto them, ki adam sha'omer lechaver. So you also see, by the way, it doesn't mean you don't have to yell. The Kohanim don't have to scream. Right? The idea is that they have to engage in a conversation. So there has to be, it's a dialogue. Therefore, it has to be loud enough to be heard, but absolutely does not have to be us yelling. Abayi says, Naktinon, this is actually very interesting as well. Naktinon, Lishnayim Kori Kohanim, Ula Echad Eino Kora Kohen. It will say, if you have two Kohanim in the shul, so the Shliach Tzibur calls out Kohanim, but for one Kohen, you don't call Kohanim. We'll say, so, you know, Baruch Hashem, this is why not Lamaisa in our shul. You know, thank God, we are blessed. I always say, when Mashiach comes, we're very lucky, because we have more than our share of Kohanim, Baruch Hashem. So definitely, we're going to get some shout-out, some messianic shout-out, you know, when for the largest concentration of Kohanim, 1 kilo. So the Gemara goes back, the Gemara says, for one Kohen, you don't call out Kohanim, but for two or more Kohanim, you do. How do we know this? Shene'emar emor lahem. The pasuk says, say unto them, l'shnaim, v'amar av chista naktinon, Kohen kori kohanim, then you saw kori kohanim. Now we'll say, now Rav Chista has an interesting halacha. Rav Chista says that only a fellow Kohen could call out Kohanim. In other words, that it's a call, only a Kohen could call out his fellow Kohanic brethren, but Yisrael cannot call out Kohanim. Where does he get this from? Shene'emar emor lahem. The pasuk says, say unto them, amira mishalohem. So the way Rav Chista darshens this is, the amira, the calling out to the Kohanim to ascend to Duchen, can only be done by who? Can only be done by one of the Kohanim. Mishal hem tehei, ve'ochasak havasa d'abaye, v'les ochasak havasa d'Rav Chista. Rabbo said, the halacha follows Abaye, and therefore again, you only go ahead and call out Kohanim for two or more Kohanim. That's how he passed halacha l'maisa. But for one Kohen still goes up to Duchen, but he goes up on his own. But we don't paskin like Rav Chista. In other words, that the call for Kohanim comes from a Yisrael as well. So the Gemara goes, "Vayitam Rabbi Yishob ben Levi, minayin shakadosh baruch hu mis'av lebirchas kohanim." How do we know that God desires birchas kohanim? Shene'emar v'samu eshemi al bnei Yisrael v'ani avarechem. So here again, the pasuk says so beautifully that what God says to us: place my name upon the people, and I will bless them. Look at Rashi: v'samu eshemi tala hakasov hadaver bahen lios bracha zu simas shmo alamo velo asa tzorach Yisrael el tzorach makom. We'll say this is very interesting. The way Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is dashing the pasuk is v'samu eshemi al bnei Yisrael. God says to the Kohanim, place my name upon the people. V'ani avarachim, I want to bless them. This is not something that God is doing for us because we need it, but kiviyachol, this is something that God is doing because He needs to bless us, so to speak, quote in quotations, needs. He wants, such a beautiful idea. Startup shot, we can get by without Birchas Kohanim, but Birchas Kohanim represents an opportunity for the Ribono Shel Olam to bless us. And the Ribono Shel Olam says, I need every opportunity I have to be able to bless my people. Such a beautiful Gemara. Bar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol Kohen Shemevarech Misbarech, Vishenu Mevarech In Misbarech. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, that any Kohen who blesses other people is blessed himself. And any kohen who does not bless people is not blessed. Rabbi say a kohen has a special power of bracha. So any kohen that shares his power of bracha with others himself is blessed. But any kohen who just keeps his kohanic powers to himself and does not bless others is not blessed. So the Gemara says, so where do we know that? From Shnei Emar, Va'avarcha Mevarechecha. Because the Apostle Rabbi says, this is back in Parshas Lech Lecha. God says to Avram Avinu, Va'avarcha Mevarechecha, I will bless those who bless you. Very Yerushalayim Levi, Kol Koin She'ina Ola L'Duchin, Over B'Shlosha Asay, any coin who does not go up to Duchin, right, who does not discharge his priestly obligations, is in violation of three positive commandments. And they are, Kosev Aruchu, Emor Lohem, V'Samu Eshimi. Rav Amar, Rabbi says, that's your answer. Rav says, Choshishin Shema Ben Grusho Ben Chalutzahu. Rav says there's a bigger issue. If a kohen doesn't go up to Duchen, Rabbi said, there's an issue that what? Maybe he's really telling us that he's not really a kohen. Right? Rabbi said, there's no, remember, when Mashiach comes, one of the first things that he's going to do is he's going to straighten out Yichus. Because there are many people who think they're Kohanim who are not Kohanim. Many people who are not Kohanim who are going to find out that they are Kohanim. The idea over here, especially with Kuna, remember, a Kohen marries one wrong person, it throws off the entire Yichus. So we're concerned that if a guy says he's a Kohen, and yet, or he presents himself as a Kohen, yet he's not going up to Duchen, so Rav Ashi says, maybe he's a Ben Grusha or a Ben Chalutza. Maybe his mother is a divorcee or his mother is a Chalutza, which means that he's not a kohen under those circumstances.
How about if he's wearing a cast or something, physically can't go up to Dukin?
No, it's correct. So that's not what we're talking about. I'm sorry? So that's a machlokes aposkim, if a kohen who can't ascend is obligated to leave the room or not. So it appears that the consensus of most opinions, or for example, you don't have to get into cast. So according to many opinions, a kohen in Avelos does not Dukin. So generally, the general approach is we say that kohen should leave the room. That kohen should leave the Beis HaKnesses, go out actually before Ritzei. We'll discuss that in just a little bit. Go out in order that there should be no aspersions about his yichus. So the Gemara says, "V'lo pligi," they're not arguing. Had the salak leprakim, had the salak leprakim. So again, remember, on one hand you have Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi saying that if a kohen doesn't go up to Duchen, he's in violation of three positive commandments. And you have Rav saying that Rechoshesh, that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. To which the Gemara says, they're not really arguing. If a kohen goes up, leprakim, prakim means he goes up on Yamim Tovim. Right, he goes up on Yamim Tovim. See, if he goes up every once in a while, then there's not a chashash that he's a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. We just assume that the reason he's not going up at other times is why? Because he's lazy. So such a person, the Gemara says to him, just understand, hey buddy, you're a Kohen. If you don't go up when you're supposed to go up, you're in violation of three positive commandments. However, on the other hand, the Kohen who never goes up, that Rav says, Rechoshesh, that maybe there's something wrong with his yichos. This is another very important halacha. We'll say, you know, sometimes there is a premium for Kohanic space. And sometimes, again, the Kohanim, you know, need to secure a position. So we'll say, Kohanim cannot ascend to Duchen prior to Ritzei. You know, this happens because you see often Kohanim begin to come up during the Bracha of Kiddushas Hayom. Prior to Ritzei, Kohanim are not permitted to ascend to Duchen before Ritzei. When the Chazan says Ritzei, that's the green light, then Kohanim go up. Before that, no. The Gemara says, furthermore, Kol Kohen She'ino Ola Ba'avoda, furthermore, if a Kohen does not begin to ascend at Ritzei, Shuv Eino Ola. He does not go up to Duchen. Look at Rashi. She'ino Ola Ba'avoda, Kodim She'yisayim Shliach Tzibor Ritzei, Tzarech La'alos Ala Duchen. Meaning, again, the idea over here is between the time that the Shliach Tzibor begins Ritzei and the Bracha of HaMachazir Shechina Sol Litzion, the Kohanim must have ascended to Duchen. If you did not get to the platform before HaMachazir Shechina Sol Litzion, so the Gemara makes it sound like what? You do not go up to Duchen. So the Gemara says, Shenemar, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav El Am, Aaron lifted up his hands to bless the people. Vayivarechem, and he blessed them. Vayired me'asos ha'chatos va'olav ha'shlamim. And he came down from offering up the chatos olav shlamim. Ma'la halon ba'avoda, suppose I just like we see birchas konim, takes place in the midst of sacrificial service, in the midst of avoda. So afkan ba'avoda, so too by stam birchas konim, it also takes place in the midst of avoda. So we'll say it's a very important day. Remember, the bracha of Ritzei is the bracha of avoda. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately to return the avoda to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, again, Ritzei is the bracha that signals the need for the Kohanim to ascend to the Duchen. So therefore, again, Lemaisa, you could begin to ascend at Ritzei, and apparently your window for ascension is between Ritzei and HaMachazir Shechinah Soletzion. If you're not up by then, the Gemara seems to say, you're out, you're not duchening. Gemara says, 1 second, is that so? But there is the case of Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi. So the Gemara says, Salki Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, me ikara havu akur karayu, me mata lo hava matu. To which the Gemara says, so Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, they started to ascend to the platform to Duchen, but what? But they were not able to go ahead and get there before a machazir shechina. So let's see. Take a look at Rashi. Meikara hava ma'akri karayhu mimkoman ba'avoda, aval rochok haya mimkoman min haduchen, v'lo mata adigam rabirchas ha'avoda. So what says, here's what happened. Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi, they begin to ascend sometime during Ritzei, but their seats were far away. Their seats were far away from the platform. Remember, Duchen means the platform. So what happened in that case? Ukiditana Boshia, Lo Shanu Ella, Shalo Akar Esraglov. Aval Akar Esraglov Ola. Oh, Rabbi said, this is the halacha l'maisa. So really the idea is, the coin must begin to move towards the platform at Ritzei, sometime between Ritzei and Amachazir Shechinah Soletzion. Meaning, he need not reach the platform before Amachazir Shechinah Soletzion. But what must he do? He must do what's called Okeres Raglov. He must begin the trek. He must begin the movement. He must begin the walk towards the front of the shul. As long as he began the walk, even if he didn't reach there before Amachazir Shechinah Soletzion, he's okay. If, however, he does not even dislodge from his place during the avoda, but rather only after, let's say, Machazir Shechinah Soletzion, does he begin to make his way to the front, then lemaisa again, he cannot duchen. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanan, we learned also, im hafta chaso shenosei es kapov, v'chozre tfilaso rashay. This is another very interesting halacha. What happens if the Shliach Tzibor is a kohen, and the Shliach Tzibor wants to duchen? So what's the halacha? So the Mishnah, actually, Rashi points out this is a Mishnah in Brachos. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Bebrachos, utnanami, Bebrachos, imaftachos, reisha hachi isa over the fnatevah lo yalene amen achra kohanim, me neatiruf, vim ein sham koin elohu, lo yisa es kapov, shol titrof daito b'shuva letfilaso. Velo yada lahaskel miyad b'sim shalom v'miftichaso shumelumad b'davar velo titrav daito no says kapa v'chozir tefilaso. So we'll say it's about a very unique case where, let's say, the shliach tzibor is the only kohen in shul. So the halacha is, if the kohen is the only shliach tzibor, the kohen does not duchen. Why doesn't the kohen duchen? Because we're concerned that he's going to get mixed up in his tefila and he's not going to be able to transition back to being the shliach tzibor. If, however, again, now back to the Gemara, im haftachaso shenosias kapa v'chozet filaso. If, however, the Shliach Tzibor is confident that he could go ahead and what? He could duchen and then return back to davening, then rashay. Then he is permitted to duchen and to be the Shliach Tzibor. V'havinan ba, so we'll say, remember, just so you should know, this is only in a specific case where he's the only kohen. Everyone agrees that if there are other kohanim, then what? Yes. Then he just remains silent. But if he is the other kohen, the halacha is, the Gemara says, that, again, he could go ahead and duchen as long as he's muftach, as long as he's sure that he could go ahead and return to Chazal Shas. Mostly understand, the reason why this was such a big problem was the absence of printed Sidurim. So then again, remember, the Shliach Tzibor really had to hold cup. He had to make sure that, again, he was going to be able to go from the end of Birchas Kohanim right back to Sim Shalom. But if he could do it, then if he's the only Kohen, we allow him to duchen. So Mar says, but 1 second, Vavinan ba, halo akar. But how could he duchen? We just said that what has to happen in order for a Kohen to duchen? What has to happen? The Kohen has to move, right? He's got to uproot and he's got to make his way to the front of the shul. He's got to move during. So what do you do? Ella dinad purta. To which the Gemara says, Inachinam, you're right. This case has to be where the Shliach Tzibor moves a little bit. There has to be some kind of movement that indicates that what? that is moving ultimately towards the, that is moving towards the Dukhan. Now again, so that's a different discussion, by the way, interestingly enough, about how a Shliach Tzibor who's Dukhaning is going to Dukhan, about turning around or not turning around. You see from here, appears from this Gemara, that the Gemara would not require him to turn around, because that would have been the simple pshat. He's turning around. The nut port just means he moves a little bit, which is interesting. I'm sorry. Oh, so we'll see about the Panama. We'll discuss the Panama Panama just a moment. We're going to come back to that. Hakanami Daka Porta. So Abbas, I said, by the way, this is Halacha Lamaisa. So first of all, Halacha Lamaisa is Kohanim, stand down until Ritzei. Stand down until Ritzei. The Kohanim are very eager. Baruch Hashem. So don't ascend until Ritzei. That's the Halacha. Kohanim must begin a movement towards the front between Ritzei and Amachazir Shchinaso Litzion. As long as they began that movement during that time, they need not reach their Kohanic destination before Amachazir Shchinaso Litzion, but they must go ahead and begin that Kohanic journey. So the Gemara goes weiter. This is a very beautiful bracha. You only give a kosher bracha. So we'll say kosher bracha means any type of birchas hamazon, benching. So you should only give a kosher bracha to someone who's generous. How so? Shene emar, tov ayin hu yivurach, kinosin melach moledal. Literally, tov ayin, one who is generous, shall be blessed, because he gives of his bread to the poor. Al tikluri yivorach, don't read, you shall be blessed. Ella yivarech. We'll say the idea is that if someone is generous, you know, there's a big zechus to leading benching, because that's a source of bracha. Someone who's generous will have in mind that Ribono shel Olam, don't just give me that bracha, but rather what? Share that bracha with others as well. So says Rabbi Shua ben Levi, it's in everyone's best interest to give ultimately the kosher bracha to someone who's generous. So Rabbi Shua ben Levi, says, Minayin shafi lo ofos makir metzar ayin. This is an amazing gemara. Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, how do we know that even the birds could tell who's generous and who's stingy? Shene emar, because the pasuk says here, the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Mishlei, ki chinam mizura hareshes be'inei bal kanaf. Literally, for naught, he is spreading out the trap in the eyes of every winged creature. So I'll say, so the Gemara is dashing over here that even the birds are able to recognize who is a miser and who is generous. You know, the Marasha says, because the way they used to go out and trap birds was how you'd have a net, and you would put some grain in the net. So what happened? So the generous people put a lot of grain, and the misers put a little bit of grain. So the Maharsha says the birds are able to tell, even just from the traps, who are the generous people and who are the misers. So we'll say there's another yisod also. The yisod, and the truth is, the Maharal brings down the Chiddush HaGadol. He says that the idea is, a person's, you know, there's only so long a person is able to conceal their true midos from the world around them. At some point in time, the true me becomes known, not just to people, but the true me becomes known to the general world as well. And if someone is a kamtzon, if someone is a miser, someone's not giving with their resources, with their assets, lemaisa, that true miserly mida will become known even to the natural world. This is amazing. So anyone who gets benefit from someone who's stingy, over belav, violates alav. We'll say, you hear this? If you get benefit from someone who's stingy or in violation of alav, how so shene emar? Al tilch, literally, Gemara is going over from the pasuk in Mishlei. Al tilcham es lechem ra'ayin. Literally, do not eat the bread of a stingy person. Va'al tisav lemata mosav. And do not desire his delicacies. Ki, why is that? Ki kimo sha'ar b'nafsho, kenu ochel u'shesei, yomar lach v'libo bal imach. So what's the idea over here? The idea over here is Amrav Nachmar Yitzchak over b'shnei lavin. He's over in two lavin. Al tilcham, the pasuk says, don't eat the bread of a miserly person. Va'al tisav, and do not desire his delicacy. So what's the pshat? The pshat is, this is amazing. A miserly person doesn't really want to give you anything. And therefore, the Gemara essentially is saying is what? Even though he says he's giving it to you, he's not really giving it to you, b'leiv shalem. It will say, when you take something from someone that they don't really want to give you, b'leiv shalem, then what is that? That's avak gezela. It's like a little bit of theft. It will say, you should know, this is the problem with gambling, right? The problem with gambling is that lemaisa, when you win the money in the pot, so the other people at the table are saying, oh, I'm so happy for you. Right, you mamish, you deserve it. You're a good guy. Right, I'm so happy, Baruch Hashem, that you won this hand. I will say, what happens? Everybody gives up their money, but they give up their money begrudgingly. Anytime you take something from someone and they don't really want to give it to you, the Gemara Chazal feel that that's an avak gezeh. There's an element of theft over there. So the miserly person doesn't want to give me anything. If he doesn't want to give me anything, I shouldn't eat his bread, I shouldn't eat his delicacies, because at the end of the day, he's not really conveying it to me with a full heart. Remember Shoban Levi. Egla arufa ba'a b'shvil, ein egla arufa ba'a b'shvil, elot tzariya ayin. Rabbi will say, egla arufa only happens because people were stingy. Rabbi will say, now what does that mean? Because the pasuk says va'anu va'amru, the elders of the city come out. Also remember, egla rufa means you find a dead person in between two cities. You don't know who killed him. So the elders of the closest city have to come, go ahead and do this process of decapitating a calf where the corpse was found. So the Gemara says va'anu va'amru. The elders of the city say yadenu lo shafchu dam zeh. We, our hands did not spill this blood. So what does that mean? Do we have a havamina that it's the elders of the city who spilled the blood of this person? So the Gemara says, what does it mean? This individual who now is dead, Nebuch, he did not come to our hands and we simply sent him on his way. And we did not see him and just leave him to be. What does that mean? But in other words, the elders of the city say, here's the issue, Rabbi Osei. If somebody dies alone in the middle of nowhere, it raises a red flag. What's the red flag? Why were they alone? And why were they in the middle of nowhere? What it does is it casts aspersions on the nearest city that perhaps they are not hospitable people. Perhaps they did not welcome this individual with open arms, and that's why he was alone, and ultimately that's why he lost his life. Therefore, the elders of the city have to come out, and almost out of Yisem Nikim have to say, we don't know this guy. We never saw him. It's not the pshat that he came into a city, we turned him away. It's not the pshat that he asked for lodging, we turned him away. We never saw him before in our lives. Had he come to our city, had he needed us, we would have absolutely welcomed him in with open arms. We'll say just one more line, we'll stop for today. Amar Ad Amar of Smaloi Beisak Neses Shekula Kohanim. But say, listen to this. If you have a shul that is only Kohanim, O Kulan Olim Leduchen, everyone goes up to Duchen. I ask the Gemara Lemi Mevarchin, but if everybody's going up to Duchen, who are they blessing? Amar Avada Lachem Shebesados. Oh, they're going to bless their brethren in the fields. They're going to bless their brethren in the fields. So Gemara says, Ini, is that so? As you will say, you know what? We'll stop over here. We'll stop in Mirat Hashem. We'll pick up with this tomorrow. The interesting case of a Beis HaKnesses, a shul that is all Kohanim.